The website Vulture.com says that Star Trek Discovery just had the best first season of any Star Trek series since the original. Agree? Disagree? Stay tuned and find out. Star Trek Weekly starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Well, I could only go so long of discovering Discovery without actually breaking down and using the theme song, the lackluster theme song for Star Trek Discovery. Welcome to Star Trek Weekly. I'm Christian Blatt. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. Way down at the far end of the desk, we have Frank Moran. Where can people find you?
On Happy Go, Happy Go Jackie. That's where you can
easy
find
for
it.
You to say.
Hard for
and
me to say.
Honored to have as a special guest the one, the only, comedian David Weiss, sometimes known as Salmon, on comedy at, on Twitter, at DWeiss Comedy, but you're also on comedy. You're just high on comedy.
I'm high right now. Thank God I'm on this piece of shit. I should be high.
As a long-term Trek fan and someone who broke down and paid for Star Trek Discovery, I figured the least we could do is have you here on the panel as we look back on the first season.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
At what point in your life, David, as our guest, did you first discover Star Trek? No pun intended. But
I would say somewhere around the late 60s. I recall being at my Aunt Shirley's house.
Shirley Hemphill from What's Happening?
No, her name is Shirley Pfeffer. Believe it or not.
I'm already let down, but continue.
And I recall she had a color TV, which was a huge deal back in those days.
Yeah, so when it was actually in first run, not in reruns.
First run.
Wow, okay. So my mom has the same story. You know, it was on Friday nights, and she would stay in, and she wouldn't be going out. So when she had boyfriends, it's like, we're not going to the movies. We're watching Star Trek. And there was sort of a barrage of episodes that I would see in reruns. But so you're bona fide. We've had nobody on the show who was watching while it was on first run.
I didn't see it every night, but I was aware of it.
Yeah. And you just stuck with it, and you were excited when the movies came around?
I've seen everything.
Including the animated series?
Animated series. I haven't seen Voyager. But no one
like
has
at
seen
all.
Voyager. No, I've seen bits and pieces,
yeah,
but
well,
it lost me.
It lost me as well. I've actually seen a lot of it, but it did lose me. I didn't even realize that. That's the only reason you're on the show.
What was it like for you, though, when the series goes away? You do have the little blip at the animated series, but then you start seeing the posters, the commercials, the trailer for the motion picture. Are you like, oh, yes, finally.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then when you sit through it,
sucked.
You're still right now
the bald chick. Come on,
Percy's Kambata.
Good bald Christian.
Thank you. It took a second. But you're actually still watching that panning shot of the Enterprise from the beginning of the movie. It's still being processed by your brain.
That's right.
Every minute of the very
yeah. Robert Wise knows how to lay it down, man. That's right.
Yeah, it was just a couple years after Star Wars, and then they set out to make another like 2001. Like, nope, slower. David, you actually were indirectly referenced on the show in the past as someone who could not hold out and not pay for CBS All Access. Les Moonves got your money, didn't he?
He did. He got about $15 of my money.
Oh, that's not so bad.
No.
Because you didn't break down until, what, at the end of the, like, the there was the mid-season break, right?
I held
right?
out till about episode 7 or 8.
Okay.
And then I broke down.
And you broke down and you
and
were
I'm,
back in.
And I'm glad I did.
And you've already canceled it until next year.
I canceled it right as the credits were running on episode 15.
Did you at any time while you had that explore anything else that CBS
absolutely
had?
Not
okay. All right.
And there were plenty of things that I liked on there, but I just refused to pay.
Well, you wouldn't have had to pay anymore. You know, you could have gotten the most out
of. That's how they get you, is that you know you get lazy and it's like, there's the Odd Couple episode I like when they're monks.
Oh,
you know, and then like
I didn't even realize that was on there.
Oh yeah.
man, they got the Odd Couple.
Yeah. Anyway, Christian's heard like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, I haven't told Phil to cancel our subscription just yet. I think actually they need it for the Good Fight after show, so maybe we can still get in.
We've got a Kristen Baranski Jones.
But in any case, well, so the fact that it actually got you, I wanted to know, what is it about the show that, was it just that it was Star Trek? Because if it had been Star Trek Voyager, you probably would have been like, no, I'm done paying for this, right? Like, probably, if it had literally been episodes of Voyager you were seeing the first time.
But I think we're all born science fiction nerds. I don't think you become one. I mean, you watch for the first time, you're hooked, or yeah, you're not hooked.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. So was there something specific about this series, though, that you were like, oh, I can't wait to see the next episode?
Oh, you mean Discovery?
Discovery, yeah.
Oh, just from the beginning. I mean, Star Trek is Star Trek.
Well, but apparently it's not because of your feelings about Voyager.
Oh, I'm just cheap.
You just, oh, okay. But you,
oh,
don't,
you meant Voyager. Okay. Yeah. I thought you meant Discovery.
No.
But David, for you, is it any Star Trek is good Star Trek? Or was there something about this series that's like, yeah,
any
this
Star
is definitely
Trek
worth
is good
around.
Star Trek, except Voyager. I mean, I wish they would stay lost forever.
I mean, maybe they could have, you know. Look, all they realized that the one thing that was missing from Star Trek was the Gilligan's Island feel, you know, and they explored that. I don't know who Gilligan was on the ship, though. I feel like it's Neelix, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Let us know in the chat who you think that Gilligan was on Star Trek Voyager.
Tom Paris?
No. Tom Paris.
Who was the skipper?
Well, the skipper would have to be Mrs. Columbo, Catherine Janeway.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about Star Trek Discovery. Enough mirth. David, who stood out for you? Were there you don't want to isolate one favorite character. Who were the characters you were most interested in seeing week to week, what they were up to?
I was more interested in Lorca and in Saru than I was in...
anyone else?
Than I was in Burnham. I did not take to her from the beginning. I felt that, you know, she did a bad thing and she should be punished.
Well, apparently Starfleet agreed initially, but then they completely changed their mind. And like, you know what? You're fine. You're good. You can get back on that. You can have a command there. Yeah, I think that Lorca, I thought, was one of the best characters on the show. And it was a great twist that they had. But then now here we're at the end of the season and he's not on anymore. So
he'll be back,
but he's not going to be the captain. He's not going to be on every week. So, you know, we have lost him. It's true. I don't know that, but I have a decent feeling. Frank, as we now reflect on the whole of Discovery, who stands out as your favorites?
Well, I first will mention again that at the beginning, you played the theme for Discovery. And again, it's like this is the one part that I always will jump ahead as I stream it there on CBS All Access.
Yeah.
I will just go along the timeline and jump right to the end of it. But I feel like the ending credits, the music where they a similar refrain, you know, but it's more upbeat and more up, the tempo's faster.
Right.
Is better.
But then, you know what I forgot to talk about last week? That the end credits for episode 15 were the end credits from the originals, the music,
right,
the end music from the original series.
Nice. That was
and
nice.
That was a nice touch, and I completely forgot to say it last week. So I thought that was great. But yeah, you're right. And Cal, somebody in the chat, Calibanks Thomas, I like the theme song. I hope I'm not the only one. You're the only,
you're
one,
the only one
right,
dude,
now,
yes.
But there are others. There are definitely others who have liked
those Eleanor Rigby strings? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But in terms of the characters, you know, I feel like Lorca was probably the most interesting.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, you know, well, and I think maybe because of the twist, you couldn't focus a lot on him because I think that's going to be the tells would become too obvious.
Yeah, I think if we saw him all the time, we would start to realize.
So then it makes you think, is he more interesting because of the lack of screen time and just the hints that you saw? Did that make him more interesting? If we would have seen a lot more of him, would we still feel the same way?
For me, I was surprised. Two characters grew on me that I didn't expect to. The first was Saru. Who, you know, I felt pretty early on I could have taken him or left him, or as the Emperor and Burnham did, I could have eaten him. But nice drawn butter, you know, just imagine what would be good on the side.
A nice mignolet sauce.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I really found him to be one of my favorite characters. And, you know, in terms of going forward, he might be. But what I'm really surprised about is how Tilly grew on me, mostly because I was convinced she was going to die. As soon as we met her, you know that, right?
Yeah,
right here on this set, I said
all she needed was a red shirt.
Yeah, but it's like they don't have red shirts, so it's like, all right, so you know, an off blue or something. And I talked about on this show, I was very taken aback when she decided to use the first F word in Star Trek history.
I like the fact that she's so innocent. Yeah, she's the only one who curses.
Yeah, well, that is interesting. But see, by the time that she said asshole when she was pretending to be
Killy,
that was fine. But that one, I was like, whoa. But I found her to actually be a surprisingly likable character.
I feel like the difference between her and Saru, which I would agree, I feel like Tilly, I feel like it was the audience had to warm up to her. She didn't change hugely over the course of the season. I think it was just to be learning more about her and seeing her more and getting to like her more. Saru, though, I felt like that was a character that I would agree that probably had my favorite arc through the course of the season.
Yeah.
That you really get to see him step into the command seat and really turn into a viable captain.
Right, which I think, you know, as we even saw, you know, when he first assumes command, he's right away is asking the computer, you know, well, who are the greatest captains? Who can I be? How can I be more like Captain Archer, you know? And the answer is you can't.
You can't. You have to look good in a jumpsuit.
Unless you start quantum leaping, then and only then can you be as good as he is. Were there any characters, David, that you felt grew on you over the course of the 15 episodes? Well, your opinion maybe changed as it went along?
Let's see. No.
Okay. That's
I stand by my previous statements.
That's fine.
But a statement like that, though, makes me feel like is that a failing of the show? For other than being Burnham, who is basically our point of view character for the entire season, did they kind of focus so much on her at the expense of a lot of the other characters that we don't really get to have a lot of, that you're kind of left with, like, I don't know if there's a lot of other characters that I really respond to.
I think they did a good job developing the other characters. You know, I think her character suffered from the fact that she was carrying that millstone around her neck of being the mutineer. And for me, it was always like, well, she's not really paying a price for this. In fact, she seems to be living this exciting life of a, you know, of an action-packed Star Trek character instead of, like, being in prison like she should have been.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just more of a fundamental, you know, problem with what she had done that got her there. And the fact that, you know, I mean, even at that point, Starfleet's willing to look the other way. They're like, oh, well, you know, Captain Lorca wants her, whatever.
Well, that was a problem I had. Not only was Starfleet willing to look the other way, so was everybody on the ship.
Yeah, it didn't take long.
He brought her onto the bridge, and everyone was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, there were some dirty looks at first, you know.
Were there? I didn't notice.
Yeah, from people who had served on the Shenzhou in particular, right. They were just like,
well,
oh, Saru's,
his jaw dropped.
Yeah, his ganglia.
Jaw.
Yeah,
his ganglia.
Well, you look at her from the first episode where she wants to where she's going to go explore that vessel. It turns out to be the Klingon ship.
Yeah,
but she's all excited about taking that spacewalk and journey across and a little bit more fun thrill seeker, even though she has that Vulcan kind of logic exterior as well. But then, as you're saying, she gets that millstone after everything that happens, that we get to see a kind of a character that's just kind of has more of a depressing lens or downtrodden lens to the majority of the rest of the season.
Well, I think at that point, there's like the voice in the back of her head, which is just, hey, remember when you were excited and wanted to have fun? Look where that got you. So, nope. But I don't think she felt like she deserved to do fun things like spacewalk. But yeah, it's very different. And as we talked about on the show, Frank, in the past, and David, you and I talked about just conversationally, the first two episodes of the show do feel like a very different show. You know, it's surprising to have the hard reboot in episode three of a series, but that's exactly what happened. And
well, we believe, you and I, that that's about when they fired the head writer.
When they got rid of Brian Fuller.
So we don't know for sure. We don't know that timeline, but it seemed as if, like, he and his crew did episodes one and two, then he was let go, and they brought in new people to do the rest.
Yeah. Well, it's entirely possible. And he also, as Frank was excited about, wanted to do it as an anthology series. So next season, we would have had something different.
Right.
But more of the same next year, Frank.
It's, you know, and we talked a little bit about this last week, too. You get to the end of the season, and it feels like everybody's story arcs are pretty much resolved. Like, if you never saw the season again and it wasn't a true anthology, I don't think there's anything left on the table. You're like, man, I wish we saw more of these Discovery characters. But then, so that makes me think, like, well, why are we watching this series? What is the point of this The series.
Because it's Star Trek. That's really the only reason.
True. I mean, but is that a good enough answer? I mean, I feel like it's Star Trek, but is that a really good enough reason to justify where and when this series is taking place?
By the way, those comments that you made last week led to some response in the YouTube chat. Andy McGaw says, wow, such a negative review and reaction, which is interesting because for weeks people had said we were so much less negative than anywhere else they went to read about the show. And Nikora Waka followed that up with AfterBuzz, more like After Buzzkill. So, yeah.
Oh, that stings.
That's, that's definitely. Thank you. Thank you in the booth, Steve. I appreciate that. In any case, I was just, but it's funny because I read that and I was like, I really didn't feel like we were that negative, you know?
No.
I thought we were just like, look, it was a good first season, but for the most part, I'm not itching to see more, you know? I'd like to jump ahead a few, I don't need it. I'm glad there's going to be another season, but I don't need to know more other than I'd like to jump ahead like 10 years and see Tilly as a captain, that sort of thing. I don't necessarily need to see them from the next point onward. Obviously, with the cliffhanger, I'm very interested, you know, and I think that's obviously why they did it. But I mean, I'm interested in what we get to see because there's rumblings that, you know, the comments have been made that, well, you're not going to get to see Spock ever on this series. And well,
that would be a huge disappointment.
Well, why would you bring the Enterprise in if you're not going to get to see Spock?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And, you know, Frank and I read the same Entertainment Weekly article literally right after the show last week. And, you know, some coy comments about like, well, you know, maybe you won't see the bridge of the Enterprise. And if we don't see the inside of the ship, then I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, if it's like if Pike just beams aboard, I'm like, well, that's annoying. Like, don't do that to
us. Don't tease us.
Yeah.
I mean, tease us, but don't tease
us. Yeah, like pay us off in episode two at least. Exactly. You know, something. I mean, I don't have like a need for like, oh my God, I can't wait to see, you know, more about all these characters.
It is a year, so you kind of have to kind of dampen down your enthusiasm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I liked it more than you did. And
it's possible.
You know, I figured, you know, 6 months maybe. You know, a year is a very, very, very long time to wait for new episodes.
Yeah, I mean, it's shows that can get away with being gone that long are like, you know, looking back a little while, like The Sopranos or now Game of Thrones.
Right.
There's very few shows that feel comfortable being gone that long. But I guess because of the brand, they're just like, people find us.
You know, it takes a while to shoot 15 hours of TV.
Yeah. And by the way, I feel like I like the show a lot. I just don't know how much more I needed of these stories. I agree with Frank in that. I have said multiple times on this show that I feel like it was the best new show on television, except of course it's not on television. It's on your laptop or your phone or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was interesting about this, especially with the Entertainment Weekly article that we saw. It was just about a lot of it. Some of the article kind of intimated like how Discovery fits into the larger Star Trek universe, and I felt like that maybe is part of my frustration with the show. Is why would you decide to deliberately set a series in this particular era of the whole Star Trek universe, and then you feel like you've got to then explain majorities of your season how this all fits into already established continuity. And do I really want to see you all working and justifying to me why the show should exist at this particular moment in the Star Trek timeline?
You know,
timeline?
That's a hard position for them to straddle because they also have to deal not only with fans for 50 years like me, but people who are just coming to the equation.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have the fans that are just coming into the equation. I mean, you know, Carrie, who's usually here, I think the first thing she really saw was Insurrection. So the bar was set very low.
Yeah, that is low. But that's with F. Murray Abraham, yeah. Right? And the skin stretches.
Yes, that's... yeah.
Okay, F. Murray.
And we'll do a point-by-point breakdown of whether or not Insurrection or Nemesis is the worst Star Trek movie.
Ooh.
But actually, it's still Star Trek V. But anyway, that's for the future. We'll get to spoiler alert at Star Trek V. But that was one of the things that I was saying. I don't think I said it on the show last week. Is that I would like to see Cybok if we're not going to get to see Spock. Let's see his brother. I don't know that anybody wants that, but I'm down for
my
that.
My pain? I need my pain.
By the way, Griffin T says Voyager is my favorite Star Thek series. Well, Griffin, thank you for sticking around.
Griffin, what are your other problems?
Griffin, we appreciate you staying up late to watch us. But I know people that at least preferred Voyager to Deep Space Nine. But I am not one of those people.
I felt like Voyager could have been better if they would have gotten back sooner. I think I've said this before. If they would have gotten back a season earlier, and then you just see the repercussions of being gone for so long and have episodes dealing with that. Imagine like episodes like after when Picard goes home to Paris after the Borg encounter.
Yeah.
If you have episodes more like that where they're kind of reintegrating into life after being gone for so long.
Oh, so it could have been like after MASH. But I just think I would have watched. I would have watched it after. Which,
maybe Jamie Farr could have been on Voyager,
Captain Klinger. I don't know. I think that we talked about this. I think Voyager was really done in by the whole UPN of it all. You know, when your network is anchored by the Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer.
There you go.
There's not going to be that. I made that reference in a past show, and I'm only doing it again because I knew it would make you laugh.
That show wasn't as bad as people thought.
Look, Chi McBride was his like...
He was at his comedic best.
Yeah, and I don't remember... Oh, Dan Florek, who was the captain on SVU for a long time, he was President Lincoln. Right. That's right. Where else are you going to get talk about the Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer, where I actually remember things about it? Anyway, one of the things that we had a lot of questions about last week, and I didn't really resolve, we had some differing answers in the chat. I still don't know what the timeline is for the Cage, Discovery, and the original series.
I looked it up. Discovery is 10 years before TOS.
Right, but then where did the Cage happen? Because the Cage has happened already.
No, the Cage has not happened yet.
It has not happened yet.
Right.
Okay. Well.
So we're before the Cage.
Okay. We're only 10 years before the original series.
Right.
And this, of course, begs the question, Frank, we talked about it the last couple of weeks. Why? At what point do they get the brown turtleneck uniforms?
I know.
That's because they have these blue ones like I'm wearing if you're watching on YouTube. And when do they switch?
If that's the case, then it may not even be Pike and Spock in there. It could be Robert April on the ship, which could be interesting.
No, they already said it's Captain Pike.
That's true. They did say Captain Pike, yeah.
But then it's like then people are already talking about like Bruce Greenwood.
And I don't see why Bruce Greenwood would be playing Captain Pike. First of all, you're going to find a much cheaper actor.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, would Zachary Quinto play Spock?
I hope so.
I mean, it would be great. I just think you're going to find a cheaper actor, you know? I mean, it's...
Well, to have three Spocks in the Star Trek universe seems to be one Spock too many.
Well, one Spock is no longer with us.
That is true. So, and, you know, God rest his soul.
And thank you. And what about the kid who played like in Star Trek III? There he was like the teenage Spock. Where's that actor? You know, we could just recycle him.
Yeah,
I didn't think about who that was, but you know, that's where you could find a Spock. Let us know which Spock you'd like to see.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it would be really cool if we saw Bruce Greenwood and Zachary Quinto, but I just feel like it's very unlikely. Not because either of them is like swamped and they're so busy. I think that, you know, getting an opportunity to do more Star Trek might be fun.
You know, we don't know what their plans are, so we don't know, you know, how much Spock there would have to be.
Yeah.
You know, in order to satisfy story and satisfy fans.
Yeah, but we've got a whole year to theorize or more theorize. Yeah,
but I feel like if you don't ever have a scene where Spock and Burnham talk,
yeah,
and you know just about their various their growing up together and their differences or their similarities, I feel like then that's
what does a Vulcan noogie look like?
That's right.
Yes, these are the important questions.
Yeah.
But it's again, it would be like not having Spock at all. It's like, well, why do you have Burnham as essentially, you know, a half sibling to Spock without ever actually exploring it?
Exactly. And another thing that troubled me, I don't mean to be negative, there's plenty I like about it, but if you drop that storyline, drop the fact that, you know, that she's the adopted half sister, whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
Right, I mean, she just could have been on Vulcan. She could have just been,
right, or she could have not been on Vulcan and just done the mutiny, and the show continues. Because they never really pay off the fact that, you know, she has a relationship with Sarek, but she could have a relationship with him anyway. Doesn't have to be father-daughter.
Yeah, he could have, you know, been there basically finding her after her family dies or some right. variation on that. Mm-hmm. And there could just be a strong bond. It could be more like Commissioner Gordon.
And Batman.
Yeah, exactly. And Batman, not right. just Commissioner Gordon and anybody.
Yes.
Commissioner Gordon and Batman.
That's another show.
It is, but the actor who played Sarek was actually on that show.
Is it Mark Leonard?
Yes.
Not that Sarek. This Sarek. The Sarek Discovery. No. Yeah.
Which show was he on?
He was on Gotham. He was like a bad guy for a whole season.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So in the tease, I said that the website Vulture says that this is the best Star Trek season one since the original series. And we're talking about setting bars low. As much as I love Star Trek Next Generation, the first season is not good. I would go so far to say as it is bad. So, yes, this is certainly better than that. And I don't think Deep Space Nine was firing on all cylinders in season one. And I'm not huge fans of Voyager or Enterprise. So it's not really going out on a limb to say, what, the animated series was better in season one? I mean, maybe. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
But I think that this was a great series. It was a great Star Trek series. And I've found it much more enjoyable than any of the recent series, you know, I think since Deep Space Nine, in all honesty. And I'm somewhat surprised at the backlash to it, but I shouldn't be because, one, it's Star Trek. Two, it's the time we live in where it's much easier to just hate things, to predict that it's going to be terrible, and so that when it comes out, it doesn't matter what you actually think of it. You have to still say that it was terrible. So, like, right. See, I knew how terrible it was going to be. They're only going to have 15 episodes instead of 22, which was never actually the plan. But what do you think, Frank? Where do you think this ranks in terms of is there another season one that comes to mind? Am I being hard on Next Generation?
No, you're not being hard. I mean, you know, certainly that had big shoes to fill. I mean, you're the first new Star Trek anything since the original series and the films at that point. So it was a rocky start to that. I mean, I think everybody agrees it didn't really come into the third season and really kick off as it gets into the Best of Both Worlds Part 2, that it really starts like, yeah, this is Star Trek The Next Generation. And I've heard like Enterprise, Voyager, and Deep Space Nine all have those same kind of struggles that first season.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I mean, even Voyager, I think it got into some kind of groove. Maybe I'm just blinded by thinking about Seven of Nine right now. But even that, I don't actually think helped the show that much.
Who's hotter in a cat suit, Seven of Nine or T'Pol?
That's a great question. Let's put that. We should do a poll. Put that out. probably Seven of Nine, but it's hard to say.
Seven of Nine by a whisker.
By a whisker.
But I do think, I mean, fans, it's been a long time since we've had a Star Trek series.
Yeah.
That I think people are excited to have an opportunity, given the platform, and that had its own issues. But just the series alone.
But the people that are actually committed to watching it, however they watch it, you know, in the rest of the world, it's on Netflix, so it's much easier. But however they're watching it, the people that are committed to watching it are probably excited to see it. But the fact that you have to pay for it, it's a lot easier than, well, really don't watch it. Just don't watch it if you're not enjoying it, you know?
I would love to know, just in terms of all the Trek fans, because I don't know if I've ever really seen just how they all kind of fall down. Are they excited about seeing something set back in the past, or would they have wanted to see something in the future? I know our feelings on that.
Yes.
I just want to turn to the larger fan base. How people have kind of really fallen down to this. Is it kind of split? Is it one side leaning more towards the other?
I feel like the majority is just excited that there is a series set in any time period, which is essentially where I sit, is that at least there is a new series. You know, it's it looked like for a while that there wasn't going to be another series. You know, it would be some movies here and there. And and now there's no talk about more movies. You know, I mean,
no, I thought there's the one with Tarantino that was.
Well, there's that talk. But what exactly is that movie? Is that Chris Pine and the crew? Is that, you know, we don't actually know what that movie is.
Is
that in the Trek universe? Is it like The Hateful Eight? But
will it have Daryl Hannah in it?
I mean, how could it not? But, I know that's really the only movie project we hear about, but we don't know if that's a continuation of any of the previous three. Mm-hmm. I say J.J. Abrams films, but, you know, he didn't actually do all of them. But, you know, the Bad Robot films. David, my point was, though, that I wanted to get to is, do you feel like this season holds up better than some of the other first seasons that we've seen.
I think so. I think they really took the time, you know, to nail it as best as they possibly could. Yeah, there was that hard left turn after episode two, but, you know, I think that was due to the fact that they did let the head writer go. But, yeah, I mean, it took Discovery, excuse me, it took Next Generation a little bit to, you know, even to change the uniforms. Remember how, like, skinny Picard's neck was?
Yeah. Yeah, and just,
like,
you know.
He looked like that chicken.
It's like the visuals of the first season. You always know a first season episode right away, Next Generation. And in my case, I know to not watch it. It's those uniforms. Riker doesn't have a beard.
Mm-hmm.
There's Tasha Yar. So right. Those are the three and things also, that I know I'm not interested in.
Troy wore some interesting costumes.
Yeah, that was for a few seasons, though, that they had her.
Before they put her in a regular uniform.
That's true.
She dressed like a gypsy.
Frank, did you have a favorite episode that stood out this season? You know, I'm not expecting you to have the titles memorized. Yeah. I'm cheating because I have the titles in front of me. But
I mean, I think, and I think probably, I would think many people would probably say this just because of the somewhat, you know, pretty much standalone nature of it would be the second Harry Mudd episode.
The second Harry Mudd
episode. Yeah, with the time loop episode. I feel like that was just a fun kind of done in one episode that was enjoyable.
That was one of the rare moments that you felt like it was a standalone. And, you know, as we talked about when we reviewed that episode, I usually hate anything that's in a time loop and you keep seeing the same things. It feels lazy. It feels cheap, you know, because you're filming less. But I think they actually really did it well. And it surprised me because, you know, it's not even the first time we've seen that in Star Trek. You know, there was the Next Generation episode very much like that. But
I also think, too, the mid-season finale, where they do fight the Klingons and then they get shunted at the end to the mirror universe. I thought that was just cool from the standpoint of finally seeing a plan put in motion. And I feel like now with modern effects, you can actually see a ship like the Discovery kind of go showcase its full capabilities, as opposed to like the long, slow tracking shots of like the Next Generation TV series and stuff. You get more of that like in the Defiant in Deep Space Nine, but I feel like it was cool to see the Discovery really kind of showing what it could do.
Yeah, that episode you're talking about, Into the Forest I Go, was episode 9, the mid season finale, the fall finale. I don't know what do you call it. It was a winter finale. I don't even know what season it was. That was good. I actually really enjoyed the episode before that, which was episode 8, and my Latin is great. Sive Pacem Parabellum, which is the Saru and the Pavo, basically, because that was like the only episode that I feel like really explored another character other than Burnham. I mean, he was really the main character of that episode, I thought. I mean, Burnham was obviously there. Tyler was there. There's a lot of things happening. But that one stands out for me. But then also the one that you mentioned. I feel like it ended very strong, where I was really excited for the show to come back. And I enjoyed the Mirror Universe. I would have liked a couple more episodes out of the Mirror Universe. But, you know, I mean, after it came back. But that's really just... it's not sour grapes, but it's a minor complaint.
Well, because I feel like they knew where they wanted to go by the end of the season, but I felt like they also had to keep characters kind of spinning in motion or in the same place until they could get to that point. Like Laurel, like how long did she spend in the brig of the Discovery?
Like three episodes, right?
There, where we wouldn't see her for episodes that are stretched, and then you get one scene of Tyler coming in and then leaving. And
yeah, it's like, this will pay off at some point. Yeah. Michael B. in the chat, this was also last episode, so this is not the chat at the moment. This is our episode 15, just to sort of counteract the comments I read before. A few people complain about your review being negative, but as a longtime Star Trek fan, I appreciate your honest opinion and willingness to point out Discovery's flaws as well as its strength. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Michael B.
Oh,
we try to, you know, I mean, ultimately, I don't think we were negative in that. You know, we both said we liked the show overall, but I mean, you know, you're going to talk about Star Trek, you have to immediately talk about all the things you didn't like. You know, it's it comes with the territory. What would you most like to see in season two, Frank? Other than, you know, the obvious, like, oh, you know, set in a different time period with a different crew. But, you know, where we're set up at the end of season one, what would you most like to see happen.
I mean, I do like the serialized nature of the show. That was nice. So whether I want to see a season-long story arc, I don't know. I feel like that becomes, and many other series had the same issue too, when you do a season-long, it becomes tough to sustain that. And you have to do...
Yeah, I mean, they should do what, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does, where it's, like, 6 to 8 episodes. You have, like, 3 arcs for the whole season. I'm fine with that. I mean, depending on how many episodes they get, I guess.
If they got, you know, say, 16 episodes, I'd rather see, like, you know, four arcs.
Oh, four arcs. Okay.
Yeah, maybe that rather than try... Or either that or 2 8s.
Yeah.
But I don't think one 16-episode arc would be as satisfying. I think we'd get too many kind of... things that we had happen this season.
Yeah, and it would be great to have a couple of standalones.
Absolutely.
Know? One that you're just like, if you want to see whether or not you like Star Trek Discovery, watch this episode. You're not going to have to be all up to speed on anything. David, is there something you'd most like to see in season 2?
I'd like to see an explanation of the Klingon double penis. Why is it up and down? Why can't it be side by side?
Look, these are good questions. I don't think you're going to get the answer.
A refrigerator freezer.
So not the ice boxes. You don't want that. You don't want that.
No, I don't want the, you know, the freezer on top or freezer on the bottom. I want the, you know, the side by side.
I feel like I should have known that was going to be your answer.
I also think I would love to see more of the bridge crew. I feel like
there are characters that have been in every episode that we don't really know that much about.
We don't know their names.
And I keep forgetting the name. I remembered at one point, and now I've forgotten again.
The red-haired chick.
Yeah, the one who was injured in the Battle of the Binary Stars.
Right.
And we saw a Mirror Universe version of her where she didn't have... And I still remember. Let's know more about her. You know, if she's going to be on the bridge, let's find out.
Yeah.
You know? I think... that I would like to know some more of those characters. It'd be fun to have one of those, sort of like below deck episodes, like other crew that maybe we only see in one episode.
Remember the disco when they had the party?
Yeah.
I mean, they could have another scene like that, you know, with some of those characters.
Yeah, I would like to just get other perspectives. But, I'd like to see more from, you know, it's, I think Lieutenant Stamets had he had a pretty big arc. There was a lot to see, but we could get more of him. It's funny to think back how for I don't know how many weeks, Frank, we called him Lieutenant Guy from Rent.
Yes,
and people in the chat started to get angry. But I couldn't remember his name, but there he was, the guy from Rent. All that was missing was the scarf. But I think that it'll be interesting to see him, because once he's sort of normalized after, being weird, like possessed by this spore drive, I'd kind of like to see where his story goes.
Yeah, I mean, he really still hasn't grieved
for
the death of his lover. I mean, that was, the guy was murdered in cold blood, and he's still, just that one scene where he confronted Tyler in the hallway, but that's it.
Yeah, and the mirror version of him appears to still be, out there,
Yeah.
I mean, even though I guess he died, but not really. There was like the spore version of him. So we can always revisit that. I'd like to see in season 2, I'd like to see Emperor Georgiou for no more than 3 episodes. I would like to see her. But I don't, let's not have her stick around for too long.
That could be a standalone.
Yeah, that would be great, a standalone. Still want to know where's Prime Lorca,
Yeah,
I would like to see him Burnham. I'm still waiting for Mira Burnham.
They did drop that hint that they were in the last episode. They were on their way to Vulcan to pick up the new captain.
Yes.
So
could it be Prime Lorca?
Right, but then again, if it is Prime Lorca, what has he been doing on Vulcan all this time?
Well, they'll have to explain that, won't they?
And he had never commanded the Discovery. And he had never commanded the Buran, because it was...
Yeah, that's a great point.
So he's not really ready to command Discovery then, is he?
No, especially not in... I would say it's still wartime, even though, the hostilities with the Klingon Empire, eased a little bit, but...
He was at least... He figured out somebody to get back from the Mirror Universe, so he had to rely on his wit and guile to kind of blend in.
Yes.
So, I was like, all right... I feel like he could command something. He would definitely be a different style than what we saw from this Lorca, somewhat. And I do miss Lorca, just for the sense. I love the way that he would just smash a fortune cookie. That was just a great bit of like characterless, like boom, smash. All right, I love that. I miss not having that on the series.
Jay Sitch in the chat says, best moment, moving Discovery into the Mirror Universe. Worst moment, it actually returned back. I disagree with that because the Mirror Universe had worn a little thin for me. I was ready for that story to end.
Yeah, you got to dip your toe in and then get back out before your toe freezes off.
Do what Deep Space Nine did. Go once a season so that you have like five episodes of the Mirror Universe, but they're all spread out, so fine.
They had that one episode in the original series.
Yeah,
where Spock has the goatee.
In a future episode of this show, we're going to focus on that episode, Mirror Mirror, and also the Enterprise episodes. And then we'll do another week where we'll focus on the Deep Space Nine episodes. But we'll announce here what we're doing next week. Oof. We're going to dive into The Cage, the pilot, because it just seems so relevant to the final minute of episode 15. So if you want to refresh your course on The Cage, you should actually check it out. I feel like Carrie actually watched The Cage recently.
Maybe,
because she was starting the series from the beginning. So we'll do that, and then we'll let you know about our Mirror Universe plans in the weeks ahead.
You know, what I don't want to see, though, is I don't want to see in a second season a bunch of minutia about, hey, we're going to show you like a little before you saw them in the original series, or how this little incident that was maybe mentioned or referenced in the original series came to be. Like, I don't want to see a bunch of them.
Do you want to
be like the Star Trek babies, like the Muppet babies?
I kind of want Star Trek babies. Not what you're saying, but I would actually like baby versions of all of them.
They'll probably have a Lego version.
Would you be disappointed if we saw Montgomery Scott for an episode? They run into him somewhere. Will you be annoyed?
I don't know if I'd be annoyed, but it's just also like, great, that's what the series is going to be. It's just about, giving tips of the hat to the original series. Like, if I want to see you be able to stand alone and not have to rely on giving constant nods to other elements of the franchise.
There's an element of truth in that, but also if they do it right, like they did the Mirror Universe, dip in, dip out, it won't be intolerable. But I mean, you're right. If there's a whole episode with Montgomery Scott, and if it's an arc, that sounds like too much right now before we even see it.
Yeah, that's true. It seems like it could be a bit much. And also, season two, I don't know how much of that we need to do. When did Scotty show up on Next Generation? That was a few years in. So
it was after Spock, right?
Yeah, it was after the two-parter with Spock. So it's like, all right, that's how many seasons you need before Scotty can show up on this show.
I think Spock was season five or six?
Yeah, it's maybe four into five.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, and then, Scotty was, it was probably season six if I had to guess. But again, I don't know. I don't have any of it in front of me. I don't need those comments in the chat about how production, it's episode 603. I don't need any of that. Where was the comment that I wanted? It went away. JTank7 says, remember, this was originally supposed to be a one-off. So the way that season one ended with no clear direction makes sense. JTank, can't wait to see what they come up with for next season. Hope they learned what worked and what didn't. But by the time that the show made it to air or to computer, whatever you want to call it, they did know what they were doing. They knew that wasn't the plan anymore. That had been abandoned. So it's not like they finished, it's not like they got 13 episodes in and they're like, oh, let's do two more because we're going to do another series. They knew that it wasn't going to be an anthology series. So, the idea that they're taking time and the explanation, I can't remember, I think it was maybe Orsi said this, was that, breaking the stories and mapping it out, that's not going to take that long. But actually executing them and filming them and having them be the right level of quality, that's going to take a while. And what I read was 2019 at the earliest. So it could be 2020 or later.
That would be damaging.
If it's 2020, we're going to have to do episodes like wrapping up the animated series. I might do one on the animated series. Why not?
Maybe they'll have like five and release those in January and then like put the other five.
Oh, do like a little mini season or something?
Or they'll just air it and let it hang. In other words, like episode five will be a cliffhanger. Come back in September.
That's interesting. I didn't really think of them doing that. But yeah, I mean, the model for TV rollouts is completely obliterated at this point. So Yeah, they could literally do anything they want to, you know?
Yeah,
they could give us like a one TV movie and be like, yep, and then the show will be back, you know? That's sort of, that's kind of the model that like Doctor Who uses, where they'll have like a Christmas special and then another one a year later, and then eventually the show comes back. And they're like, you know, you'll get it when you get it, you know? We'll see what we can do.
Well, true, because I guess like very similar with Doctor Who fans. I mean, I feel like Star Trek fans are the loyal.
They're going to wait.
They're going to stick around.
They're going to be annoyed, but they'll wait.
Yeah.
They'll still be there.
What choice do we have?
Exactly. So I guess that's the gist of what I'd like to see. And I don't know what we'll actually see. That's the best thing about the show is that it did have a fair number of surprises. David, we talked a number of times on this show that, especially in the early days, no one was safe. There were a lot of characters that were killed off that you thought were going to actually be major characters.
Yeah.
You know, starting with Captain Georgiou.
Right.
Know? So it's okay.
Well, I think the mutiny itself was a huge surprise.
I agree. Yeah, I did. I definitely didn't see that coming.
No, you know? I didn't see it coming. And you know, when Georgiou had the phaser pointed at Burnham, I thought, oh my, you know, is the main character going to be killed off in episode one?
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, that was. I think that was the plan. The original plan for Lost was that they were going to have Michael Keaton play the Doctor, who was played by Matthew Fox, and they were going to kill him in the second hour. And he was going to be it was going to seem like he was the major character. And then somebody was like, "Yeah, you know, it'd probably be helpful to have a doctor on that island. So let's get the guy from Party of Five." Now, David, we were talking beforehand, and you said your favorite part of the season was actually the final two episodes.
Yes.
What was it about those that you felt like...
Well, I felt that the entire season was kind of, you know, like the roller coaster goes clickety-clack, you know, up the thing and then, you know, down. And I felt the final two episodes really brought everything together on that, you know, that final rush into the station.
They did end strong, and, you know, Frank and I were hoping that them showing up 9 months later wasn't just setting them up to have to add some time travel and, you know, fix the problem that way, which
slingshot around the sun.
I was relieved that they didn't, you know, sort of go the Superman route where you just fly backwards around the sun and fix everything and it'll be fine. I think it ended very strong. And overall, I was very happy with the momentum throughout the course of the season. And it'll be interesting to talk to people because I have a friend who's actually binging it now that it's finished. You know, they went with the route that, I'm going to get my free week or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to watch them all and then I'm not going to pay for it. Which, you know, I said that when we started, that was our original question. When we started the first episode, Frank, we said, would you pay for it? And I said I wouldn't. But if for some reason, you know, it doesn't come back for a few years and, you know, who knows, maybe we're not doing the show anymore. I'm hard pressed to say I wouldn't pay for it because I really want to see more. But, I feel like I would pay for it now. I feel like it's sort of come full circle in that way. I've definitely changed my tune because I've now seen an entire season of it. Now, I wouldn't pay for any weeks that it's not on. So if it goes away for 6 weeks in the middle, like you didn't pay for it during the hiatus.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Right.
But when you think about it, let's say you pay for 3 months.
Yeah.
You're going to binge some, watch the rest. That's $18. Well, yeah. I saw Black Panther yesterday and I bought popcorn and I paid for a ticket. That's $20. So you get 15 hours of programming versus 2 hours to see Black Panther.
It's a great point, and I could make my popcorn at home for free.
That's true.
So that's the win-win. Anyway, let us know in the chat what you thought of Season 1 of Star Trek Discovery. You can leave your comments there. You can also you can tweet us at our individual Twitter handles. David, you use yours now.
Mine is D-Weiss Comedy.
That's right. And I'm at Christian DMZ, and Frank is at Happy Go Jackie.
You know it.
But as I mentioned, I'll just reiterate, next week we're going to analyze The Cage, the original pilot for Star Trek, and we'll talk about some thoughts for who we hope we see from The Cage and what elements of The Cage make it into Star Trek Discovery Season 2, Episode 1 and beyond, because we don't know. I mean, could they do a whole season with The Enterprise? Probably not.
Oof. But I can't imagine that, but I feel like if you're going to do it, you got to give enough that's going to satisfy some fans.
Yep.
Yeah, it can't just be like it happened between seasons. And they're like, all right, bye, Captain Pike. Hi, thanks for visiting. Bye. Oh, man, that sure was fun. All right, on we go to Vulcan.
Wasn't he a great guy?
Anyway, thanks to everybody who has continued to watch and support the show as we've gone through the first season of Discovery. But we're going to still be around, at least for a while. Eventually, yep. If the show doesn't come back, eventually we're going to run out of stuff. But there's, what, 750 episodes of Star Trek and 13 movies. So, you know, we've got a little time. But anyway, so for Frank, special guest David Weiss, a.k.a. Salmon, I'm Christian Blatt, and we will see you next Sunday night. Until then, live long and prosper.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.